Certainly glad to see each and every one of you on this Lord's Day, who we trust worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. We're so thankful for this church and men that can pray publicly as we just did, and it's a wonderful honor and privilege to serve in the kingdom of heaven, the church kingdom, the visible kingdom of God that He's left on record here for us to serve as disciples of Christ. And it's a privilege to have the honor to serve here with this congregation. And we thank each one of you. We're so thankful for each one, and so thankful for the prayers that you just prayed. And I'm sure God heard those prayers, and I'm sure we'll hear an answer from Him because of the petitions we made. Now, it's my appointed time to speak to you on a subject this morning, but I always think we ought to start that with prayer. So if you'll go with me now, we'll look to the Lord again to pray to Him. Our gracious Heavenly Father, it's once again that a few of Thy children have met together, we trust, here to this place to worship Thee in spirit and in truth. We ask Thee, Lord, to be with this congregation as we endeavor our time of worship unto Thee, to call upon Thy name and to praise the name of Jesus for the finished work of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Be with us, look down upon us, lead us, guide us, and direct us in the paths of righteousness for Thy name's sake. In Jesus' name we pray. Turn to a portion of Scripture here to preach to you on a subject that's been on my mind not only this week, but even before this week. And that is on the subject of the preciousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, as believers, the Lord to us is precious. You know, that word precious is a word that we use commonly in our lives because we have precious things that happen in our lives. Each one of you who are married, have a spouse, a husband, or a wife, and you think of that spouse as a precious person to you. And they should be. And they are. And then you have those children, and as they grow up, they do things, and they say things that we call precious. And I hope some of you do. Me and Carol have tried to through our lives when they're growing up, and you make little notes because you tend to forget them if you don't make notes of them. Make notes of and have those reflection of things that they might have said or things that they might have done as they're growing up that are precious to us. That word precious is a very common word. We think of precious even in things that we own. For instance, we all have jewelry, rings. You ladies have necklaces, bracelets, things like that. What are they made of? They're made of precious stones or precious metals. Precious stones are like diamonds or sapphires or stones that are cut and made into something of color and of beauty. Metals are things like gold and silver and platinum. They're precious because of their beauty and their shining and their value. They're valuable. So we call those things precious. But more than that, do we think of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did for us. What a precious Savior. We were headed to hell. We were headed right where to get what we deserved. And He came down from heaven and went to the cross and laid down His life. And you know, He had to lay down His life because what is it that brings death in this world? It's sin. And sinners experience death because of sin. But the Lord had no sin. There was nothing about Him to cause His death. So He had to lay down His life for the sins of His people. Now, what do we want to do this morning, the Lord being our helper, is take a look at some scriptures that tell us about the Lord and why we should think of Him as a precious Savior. He's precious, and He's declared to be precious in the scriptures, and we want to see it this morning. We'll start in the Song of Solomon. You know, the Song of Solomon is a book that describes for us the Lord Jesus Christ before He ever was born in Bethlehem of Judea. And in this particular verse of the scripture that we want to look at, it describes the preciousness of the Lord Jesus Christ and why we should think of Him as a precious Savior. It says in the fifth chapter of the Song of Solomon, we'll begin there at verse 10. It says this, "My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. Oh yes, the chiefest among 10,000. The fairest of 10,000. Oh yes, He is indeed a Savior that we should be thought of as precious. He's the chiefest among 10,000. Says in verse 9, "What is that beloved more than another beloved? O thou fairest among women, what is thy beloved more than another beloved, that thou dost so charge us? My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. Now what Solomon is seeing is telling us here in this particular portion of Scripture is the Lord is precious. He's the chiefest among 10,000, even more than that. He's the chiefest among all, and He is our Savior. And we should think of Him as the precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yes, indeed, He is indeed the Savior of sinners. Now we want to take a look at other scriptures that talk about this Savior and why He is to us a precious Savior. We'll also find over here in the New Testament a scripture that calls Him as the, or actually it refers to specifically His kingdom, but Him as the ruler and leader of His kingdom. It refers to Him as a pearl of great price. He is indeed a pearl of great price. We'll find in the book of Matthew, chapter 13, it says here, beginning at verse 44, and we'll start there. It says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to treasure hid in a field," you know, referring to the treasure of the kingdom of God. It's like those jewels that we have and that we wear. They're a treasure unto us, and we wear them with a certain amount of pleasure to have them. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a treasure that is hid in a field, the which when a man hath found it, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth, and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Now this is talking about a treasure that a person has, that he thinks so much of that treasure, he prizes it so much that he would sell all that he has and give everything he's got to possess that treasure. And so that's the way it is with us, with the kingdom of God. It should be the most important aspect of our life, that we're in the kingdom of God, that we're in the visible church of Jesus Christ, serving Him while we live here in this world. This has nothing whatsoever to do with one finding a way to heaven and doing something to get life, but it has a lot to do with a person serving the Lord and enjoying the privileges of the kingdom of God while you live here in this world. And that's what we've all gathered together here this morning in this place to worship and adore the God, our God and our Christ Jesus, the treasure of the kingdom of God is Jesus Christ Himself, the Lord. And then he says in verse 45, again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant seeking goodly perils, who, when he hath found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. In other words, it's when a person treasures something so much, they're willing to give up all that they have to obtain and have that treasure. That's the treasure of the Lord Jesus Christ. It ought to be that important to us. Important to us that we would give up all that we have rather than give up the treasure of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. That's how important it is. It's worth more than all that you can accumulate, all that you can have here in this world. The most important thing is that you have the precious Lord and Savior as your Lord and King, and you're serving Him here in this world in the kingdom of God as you travel along here in life's way and enjoy the spiritual benefits of serving Him in that way. Yes, He's like a treasure He's called here a treasure, a pearl of great price, a treasure that's hid, a treasure that you're willing to give all that you have to serve here in this world, because He's more important to us than all that we have here in this world. In spite of all that He blesses us with, it never supersedes the fact that Jesus Christ is the treasure of our life. Yes, we want to look at several things here concerning this treasure, concerning this Savior, concerning this precious Savior that we serve while we travel along here on life's journey. Now we want to turn over here to the book of Acts, and we want to see a scripture that tells us this about this Savior. This Savior that's right now, at the very minute that I stand here before you to speak, this very Savior is right now seated at the right hand of the throne of God, and He's looking down upon this congregation that's met here at Macedonia Church, as well as all the other children all over the earth that are meeting together in His name. And He is especially interested in those that are meeting together in His name, in spirit and in truth. You know, the scripture said the Lord sought such to worship Him, those that worship Him in spirit. And He didn't just stop and say in spirit. In spirit means they have the Spirit of God. They've been born again. They're worshiping the Lord, and they're worshiping Him in the Spirit of God that God has given them. But more than that, He seeks and He searches for those that worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, what does that mean, in truth? In the truth that salvation's of the Lord. In the truth that you could do nothing of yourselves to save yourselves, but the Lord reached down and gave you life. And when He gave you life, you then had a heart that turned and worship and call upon God in prayer. Yes, indeed. In spirit and in truth. Now, one reason why we want to call the Lord precious is because He is our Savior. And more than that, He is the only Savior. There is none other. None other Savior except Jesus. There's no salvation apart from Him. He's our Savior, and He saves us not only eternally speaking, but He saves us throughout our lives when we properly worship and adore and meet together to worship His name. He saves us in time. He saves us through the gospel. He saves us through the word. He saves us from trouble when we follow and keep ourselves in the instructions of His word. There's salvation throughout our lives through God in the scriptures as they're taught here. We want to take a look at this scripture here that speaks of Him as the only Savior. We want to begin here in Matthew chapter 4. We'll begin there with verse 5. And it says, "And it came to pass that on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas and the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, 'By what power or by what means have ye done this?'" Now, Peter had been there and had healed this man, this impotent man. And so in his healing of this man, the high priest, they gathered together here to question them about how they did it. How did you, by what power did you use to heal this man of his afflictions? And so then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost. Now that's important because this wasn't Peter as a man. This wasn't Peter as a human being. This wasn't Peter as someone that had a special power, but the Spirit of God was working through Peter. And it says, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, 'Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by Him that this man stand here before you whole. In other words, Peter is saying, it's not by myself. It's not of me. I didn't do it. It's by the name of Jesus. It's Jesus that healed this man. It's Jesus that proceeded to cleanse this man of his impotent condition. And so they were giving Jesus on the cross seated at the right hand of Jesus. They were giving Jesus the credit for the power that was used to heal this man. And then he says, If this be the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. What he's saying there, there's no other name except Jesus. He's the only Savior. And whether you're talking about eternal salvation or timely salvation, Jesus is due the credit. Jesus is the only Savior. And as the only Savior of sinners, he ought to be considered and thought by us to be precious. He is a precious Savior to us as believers, and we think of him in that way, as a precious person, as a precious man, as a precious one that's seated at the right hand of God, ever ready to make intercession for us. Oh, what a Savior. He's precious to us, and I trust that you feel that same way. Now we want to turn over here to the little further and see another reason why Jesus is precious to us as believers. We'll find it in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And we'll begin here at verse 10 of this particular chapter of 1 Corinthians. It says, we'll start with 9. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereupon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is Christ Jesus. What he's saying there is Christ Jesus is the foundation of the church. He's the foundation and the only foundation of the church. Any church that places salvation based on anything anyone does is in false error. Why? Because Jesus is the only foundation of the church. He's the only Savior of sinners. He's the only one that saves us timely. He's the only one that saves us eternally, and we ought to praise him. And he's the only foundation of the church. And every church that is properly serving God has Jesus as the very foundation for why they meet every week, and why they worship every week, and why they meet together to praise and to pray unto him each and every day that we live. Prayer is not a weekly thing. Prayer is a daily thing. And each one of us ought to be praying to God each and every day. We ought to thank him for every day that we wake. We ought to thank him for every day that we have. We ought to thank him at the beginning of the day and thank him at the end of the day and ask him to deliver us to the next morning at the beginning of a new day. It's prayer to God, because He is the only foundation, and is the only foundation of the church, then we ought to think of Him as precious. Yes, the Lord is indeed precious. He's precious unto us, and He's precious unto those who are believers in His name. Precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, He is indeed our Savior, and He is precious unto us. Now we want to take a look at a couple of other scriptures here. One, I'll call this the Apostle Paul. Some people claim the Apostle Paul to be the greatest of the apostles. I don't disagree with that, but then again, they were all important. But the Apostle Paul had a special gift, and he used it in the work of the Lord while he was here in this world. And he recorded a lot of the scriptures by God's inspiration for us to follow. But the Apostle Paul expressed in the book of Philippians his idea of Jesus, his idea of this precious Savior, his idea of what the Lord meant to him. And I trust we can all say the same thing ourselves as Paul expressed it here about Jesus. We want to take a look at that. It's found in the book of Philippians, and we'll begin there at verse 8 of the book of third chapter of the book of Philippians. We'll begin at verse 8. He says, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." Now, what does he mean there, that he may win Christ? Was he talking about win him for eternal life, or win him to be born again so that he could go to heaven? Absolutely not. He wasn't talking about winning him in that way. He wouldn't even think that way if he hadn't already been born again of the Spirit of God. He's talking about winning him and having him as the very essence of your natural life that you have here in this world to serve the Lord. And that's what Apostle Paul, he says, I'm willing to give up all that I have. I'm willing to give it all up for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ our Lord. What a great commitment. What a great thing it is that the Apostle Paul, the greatest of all the apostles, expressed here in the book of Philippians concerning his Savior. He says, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. You see, that's where most of God's children come short. They want to think of it as their own righteousness that saved them. No, the apostle put it this way. He says, I found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And what does he mean by that? He means my faith is in God. and Jesus Christ, who kept the law to a jot and tittle in my behalf. And God, when he quickened me and gave me life, imputed that righteousness of Christ himself into me. And that's how I'll face God at the judgment. Not by my own righteousness, but by the righteousness of Jesus Christ himself. And found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Oh, what a great statement that is. That I may know Christ and the power of his resurrection. They crucified him on the cross. They laid him in a grave. That should have been the end of Jesus. But no, on that third day he was resurrected. How? By the very power of God. He came forth from that grave, giving us victory over death, victory over hell, victory over the grave, victory over all that we face here in this world, the power of his resurrection, that I might not know the power of his resurrection, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made comfortable unto death, if by any means I might obtain, I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect, but I follow after that, that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Jesus, of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in God in Christ Jesus. Yes, indeed, the estimate of Paul, he said, I count it all dung. I count it all a waste of my time and money to win Christ and to win him and to serve him and to be a disciple of him all the days that I travel here in this world. And that should be our thought and our attitude toward serving the Lord in Jesus Christ, as he has done so much for us. And we ought to think of him as a precious person unto us. One last scripture now, and in the closing, then this scripture, and then summarizing all the thoughts that we've covered here in this preaching this morning. We'll find here in the book of 1 Peter, it says here that he is precious to believers. Precious unto us who are believers in his name. And I trust that the Lord Jesus Christ is a precious person, is a precious one to you. I hope you realize and know that he is your Savior and that he is your only Savior. I trust and believe that, trust that you know that he is seated there at the right hand of the throne of God. He never goes on vacation. He never takes a day off. He's there 100% of the time, day or night. Whenever you can call upon him, he's there to hear your call. He's there to answer your prayer. And he's there to lead you through the trials and troubles and tribulation of this life. Without him, I don't know how we would get by. But with him, all things are possible. All things are possible through Christ that strengthens me. Yes, He is indeed our Lord and our Savior. It says here in 1 Peter, we'll begin there at verse 5. It says of chapter 2, it says, "Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." He said, "Wherefore also it is contained in the Scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious," there it is, "precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded." And then in verse 7 he says, "Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious." Yes, he is a precious Lord and Savior to those of us who are believers in his name. He's precious unto us, and he ought to be precious to us each and every day that we live here in this life. And it's not this thought that saves you eternally, but it's this thought that saves you in time, saves you here in this world, that causes you to have a happy and a glorious life as you travel a long life's way, serving the Lord and being one that is a follower of Him, being a soldier of the cross, being a disciple of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I hope these things have touched your heart and have caused you to call out unto God and to praise His name, and to praise His name as a precious Savior. The things that we've looked to this morning, I'll just summarize briefly. Christ is precious to believers. Indeed, He is. He's called in the book of Solomon the fairest of 10,000. He's called in the book of Matthew the jewel beyond compare. And He is definitely a jewel that's beyond compare to those of us who are believers in His name. We found out in the Word of God that He is the only Savior, and there is no salvation apart from Him and Him alone. And so we look to Him for salvation, not only eternally, but timely. Yes, indeed. Not only that, He's the only foundation. He's the only foundation of the true visible church of Jesus Christ. If it uses anything other than Christ Himself as the reason why you are saved, that Jesus saved you and called you with a holy calling, not according to His own, not according to you, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus, given to us of God by grace, are you saved through faith, and that is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. He is the only Savior. He is the only foundation of the true visible church of Jesus Christ. And we saw the opinion of the Apostle Paul, who went about serving the Lord, writing these letters, setting the church up until Jesus comes again with words from God for us to follow and to instruct us in the way of life that we should live here in this world. And we saw Paul's response to the service of God. He said, "I count it all dung that I may win Christ and the power of His resurrection." Yes, indeed, Paul had a great opinion as to the preciousness of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we saw that last scripture there in the book of 1 Peter that claimed that He is precious to us as believers. I thank you for your attention. May the Lord bless and keep you is my prayer. And I ask a continued interest in your prayers as we get down and stand before you.